Had a great time yesterday at the Grace Hunger Walk to raise money to help alleviate hunger and house the homeless and to help work toward healing racism. And thanks to Dennis and the mission team for organizing our participation in it. There were about 1,000 people that were walking in it. And as Dennis mentioned, there were 10 of us from Parkwood. I think that's up from 4 last year, I think they said. So I thought maybe we could set a goal for next year to go from 10 to 20 and have a lot of you join us. But thanks to everyone who participated and also those who sponsored those who walked. It was a beautiful morning for a nice long walk. And I found it fascinating to go on a long walk the morning before preaching our text today, which is on the road to Emmaus. Let us attend to our New Testament reading. This is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. You can find this on page 964 of the Church Bibles. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus walks with us. Jesus rebukes us. Jesus teaches us. And Jesus feeds us. 4 things I think we can tease out of that passage today. Jesus walks with us. We don't know much about the Cleopas who is named in this story. He is probably a typical disciple of Christ, if there is such a thing, in those days immediately after the crucifixion. This is the only place that we find him in the New Testament. We know even less about his companion on this lonely journey away from Jerusalem. He or she is not even named. He could be anyone. It doesn't really matter, though. What matters is that Jesus finds them and walks along with them in their grief. It says they were walking along and discussing all that had happened. They had to be talking about how just a few short days before they were with Jesus, thinking that he was about to bring in his new kingdom. But then it seemed to go tragically wrong. They had to be wondering what happened. They had to be worrying about what was going to happen next. And in the midst of this, it says that Jesus came near and went with them. I know that there are a number of people here probably walking along in their own life, and something tragic or something difficult or something painful has happened, and they're wondering what happened. They're worrying about what is going to happen next. Maybe you've spent a long time battling an illness but just can't seem to get healthy. Maybe you're looking for a job and it just doesn't seem like a call with that offer is ever going to come. Or maybe you're having a very tough time just figuring out what God is calling you to do in your vocation. Or it could be that you're in a relationship that you just don't know where it's going. You had hoped that it would be forever, but now you don't know how to get past the problems. Or maybe you're just there standing still and looking sad, like it says Cleopas was. But just like he did with Cleopas, on that day that seemed so dark, he seeks you out. Maybe not the physical risen Lord that you can reach out and tangibly touch, like on that particular afternoon, but he is there. He's there when you remember to pray, or when you find yourself able to pray. He is there when you turn to Scripture. He's there in fellowship with other Christians, those dear brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, elders, pastors who walk beside you and share in your darkest times. He is there in the sacrament of communion with the body and blood of Christ. Even in the darkest times, he is there. And in your darkest times, even when you've decided to leave the foot of the cross, the scene of the cross in Jerusalem, and go back home to Emmaus, like Cleopas, Jesus will seek you out and will walk with you and begin to comfort you. Jesus walks with us. And Jesus also rebukes us. He walks with us to give us comfort, but he doesn't shy away from rebuking us. When Cleopas and his friend lament Jesus' crucifixion, he says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" This is a short one, but an important one. We listen for the Lord. Every Sunday, in the prayer for illumination, we pray that the Lord will speak to us the words that we need to hear. In our daily prayer lives, we speak with the Lord and listen for the Lord. But how do we know if what we hear is coming from him? This is one little test. When we listen to the Lord, sometimes he will tell us that we are being foolish when we are being slow of heart to believe. Now, it doesn't mean that God can never affirm us in what we are doing, but we can be sure that if we don't ever hear a rebuke, if we don't ever get the sense that we have some corrections that we need to make, then we can be sure that it's not coming from the Lord. It could be about what we're doing or about something that we need to be doing. Or it could be, like it was in this case, a rebuke about who Jesus really is and how we don't quite get all that he's about. But if we don't ever hear a rebuke, then we have to question whether it's Jesus that we're really talking to. If we're walking with the true risen Lord, then sometimes we will feel his rebuke. But he doesn't only walk with us and comfort us and rebuke us. He also teaches us. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted the things about himself in all the scriptures. That must have been quite a Bible study, huh? Can you imagine? Did you ever get mad at Luke for not writing all of this down and think, hey, Luke, you know, you could have gotten a better transcript for us. Someone should have gotten this word for word. What did he teach them? And we may not have a transcript, but we can imagine what he was telling them about. You may remember there was a Sunday a few months ago when I wore a bow tie for the children's sermon and talked about how it was a good example of what the Bible is like, with Jesus Christ right in the middle and then the Old and New Testaments on either side. That we have the Old Testament on one side of the tie and the New Testament on the other, and Christ is the knot right in the middle. Augustine's saying for this is that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and that the old is in the new revealed. Now, what does that mean for us? It means that there are not two different gods, that Old Testament God and a New Testament Jesus. It means that the Old Testament is more than just some trivial old stories that make our history a little more colorful. It means that they point to Jesus Christ. What we see in our passage, what we see Jesus teaching them, is that the Old Testament can't be understood without seeing that it points to him, the risen Lord. And that we won't recognize the risen Lord if we don't see that the Old Testament points to him. It means that Jesus Christ is not just a plan B for God because the Jewish people messed up. It means that Jesus Christ is the culmination of human history, God's action to save the world. Look at what he teaches them. This is important. Does he teach them all the things that they have to do to fix their relationship with God? Does he teach them all the rules that they have to follow in order to get closer to God? Does he pat them on the back and say, I came to show you that this law can be followed so that you would know that it could be done. So now go get at it. No, he teaches them that all the scriptures point to him, that he is the true Moses who stands between God and his people and bridges that gap, that he's the true David that took on the giants of sin and death, the only giants that ultimately can hurt us. He teaches that he is the true prophet, the true priest, the true king. He teaches them that he is the fulfillment of God's plan. And Jesus teaches us. He teaches us a whole lot more about who he is and what he has done than about what we must do. Finally, Jesus feeds us. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This was the point at which it dawned on them. Some have said this is when the true Easter dawn occurred. They realize who has been talking with them. They realize who has come near and has been walking with them, who has rebuked them, and who has been teaching them. They realize that it is the risen Lord and that everything has changed. They look back over their walk with him and say, weren't our hearts burning when he was talking to us on the road? And they are fed with the bread of life, the bread from the risen Lord. But you know what the most fascinating part about this whole passage is to me? They finally get to Emmaus after this great Bible study, and it says that Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. Where was he going? More importantly, what did it say about Cleopas and the other disciple? But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." They invited him to stay with them. Do we? Do we invite him in, or do we let him keep going? Some of us are just fine walking along with Jesus, letting him explain to us how things are. He's teaching us about the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And if he'll do that as we are on the way to where we are going, then we are just fine with that. We like to do Bible studies. We like to investigate the text, the background of the text, and see what the Greek words mean or the Hebrew words mean, see what they meant in their original context. But then we get where we're going, and we let him walk on. It's kind of like if you're listening to a story on the car radio, and you get to where you're going, and you have to turn it off. Sometimes you might stay in the car for an extra 20 seconds or so to hear the end of the story, but then you turn off the radio, get out of the car, and go on inside the house and go about your life. We think it's nice to have Jesus around with us while we're on our way to where we want to go. We let him walk with us and comfort us. We may even let him rebuke us. We let him teach us, and then we will just let Jesus keep right on walking, right out of our lives. And he's prepared to do that. When you encounter the risen Lord and you recognize him, you don't get to choose where you go. Cleopas and the other disciple thought they were going back to Emmaus, but when they invite the Lord in, they end up going back to Jerusalem, back to the cross. What about you? We might be on our way to a financially successful career, but when we invite in the risen Lord, we end up reshaping our vocation so that it benefits others in far greater ways than ourselves. We might be on our way to a cozy retirement, but when we invite the risen Lord in, we end up spending more of our time volunteering with those who have dire need of our help instead of working on our short game. We might be on our way to a comfortable life in the suburbs, but then Jesus calls us to be present with those who don't have a comfortable place to lay their heads. I don't know where the risen Lord is calling you to go, but I know that to be truly fed, we have to give up our agenda, our direction, our control, and invite the Lord into our home, into our hearts, into where we live. We have to follow him instead of merely letting him walk alongside us. In our deepest, darkest times, Jesus comes near to us and walks with us, even if we don't recognize him at first. He will rebuke us and he will teach us, but to be truly fed, we need to invite him in. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.